All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time that we can have. I always, my heart's desire is for you to observe and to see what goes on in this class and for you to like it, for you to find joy and find praise and glory in the way we share with each other, the way we depend on you for things and praise you when we see your hand, Lord, and your heart. And so I always feel like that's true on these mornings because you show up, Lord, and your spirit and what fellowship does. It's such a unique thing when people gather together who love you, who have been changed by you, who depend on you in our weakness. And so thank you that we experience that through just fellowship, chatting, laughing, crying together, praying, listening to teaching, just all of those things that you have done, that you do in the body of Christ. And we just see it here. We thank you and praise you for that, Lord. Be with these requests and help those who have the request see your hand, feel your presence. And those who don't share requests, Lord, these just mirror what is going on in every heart with concerns about every form of life. And so just bless us with your presence and with your word and with trust so that we can have faith in you and see you work. Father, I thank you for Chris Thompson and his incredible part for the church, for your people, for the area of mercy. And thank you that you brought him here to be our friends and to serve our church. And I pray for him and his roles as a husband, father, church worker, and just a friend. And I pray that you'd speak through him today. In Christ's name. All right, Chris, I'm going to turn it over. Again, this summer we've been having different pastors, people from the staff that some of y'all may not know, and get to know them better. Chris, I have known from high school. He's way younger than me, but
there's several.
Yeah, there's some classmates. Yep. So I think of Chris. This was in the 70s, and we had polyester plaid pants and everything. We had the two-tone shoes. Yep. Anybody know? Nobody's ever had any of those. Anybody have those? Yeah. So the stacked heels and shiny. You had them, I know. We talked about different colored, and they were horrible. They were horrible. And so one day before I was to teach Sunday school, I had a dream that I stood up here to teach, and I looked down, and I had those on. I was taller, but like, oh, my gosh. Of all of us that tried that, he was the best dresser of all the badly dressed people. But he was so good that we called him Threads. That was his name. Threads. Right? You still get called that. So I turned it over to Threads. It's Dr. Threads to me. You're like, just shut up so I can speak.
John, I did my student teaching at Briarwood in 1977 under Fay Black. So I think
I was a senior. He was gone. I was a senior. He was gone. So, in fact, my class was the last class to graduate in 280. That's right. In fact, I'll say it this way. I've been on staff going on 43 years. Wow. And there are two other staff members that were over in the 280 church, me and two others. Can anybody figure out who it is?
Simon. They're still employed.
They're still employed. Benny Parks and Lee Ann Reese. Rick Winsett was there. Rick recently retired and stuff, but the three of us talk about the old days of 280 for a long time. I'm Chris Thompson is my name, and I'm married to Lynn Thompson. Lynn would be here normally, but she just drove into town after being with her mom, who's 85 and had back surgery. So she'd been down around the coast of Florida, and I told her the rest. And she starts volleyball, taught volleyball with junior year, but she'd been teaching Broward volleyball seventh grade for about 14, 15 years, started the program. We have a son and a daughter. Our son is married, Ross. He's married to Hope. Ross works for a wealth management place in 280 run by Harry Pearson. Megan, who is 30, can you believe that? Yeah, lasted 1 year in ballet, I think. she is in Houston, Texas, and she is single but dating a guy, works as an English teacher, which I don't know how that came with it. But she's an English teacher in high school. She started off at inner city school, and then has recently just changed 2 years ago to another school. It's like going from Fairfield to Spain Park. I did the Mercy Ministry. I did junior high ministry for 20 years and survived. In fact, I saw Rhonda. Rhonda worked with me for years. How many years she worked? 5 years. She worked with me longer than any other girl that I have ever met. She's great. And we just love Rhonda and stuff. Then I did 5 years of pastoral care under Kim Wilson. And then I decided that I was ready to go. And about that time, Harry comes on board and brings me into the office and says, I want you to run the Mercy Ministry and work with the deacons. I've been doing that the rest of my time. I love doing it. I do a lot of counseling with a lot of ladies. A lot of them have been physically or socially or even sexually abused. And I deal a lot with them. So there's more of a counselor component to Mercy Ministry. Mercy Ministry, we do help with bills. We even have a system that is connected here to every congregational community. For example, I know Andy Grace is over there. Andy would be your deacon. If somebody was in need, they would go to Andy. Andy would work it up the ladder. And we would move toward doing what we need to do as that family. So members come first. We've always been that way. We run several different ministries. We run a new focus ministry, which Andy helps me with. That's how people outside of Broward get assistance, by going through a 10-week class, and while they're in the class, the bill rises, they can't pay, we'll work with them, we'll work with our coach, and we end up working with them. So we do more than just handouts. We don't do a lot of handouts. And what we do is we let you go through that. We also have a thrift store, and the thrift store is in Fairfield. In fact, advertisement time. This Friday, we are having a grand reopening. And the reason the grand reopening is back in August, the manager of our store, Angela, who I led to the Lord and basically discipled, was found dead in her house. And so we've been looking for the manager. We have Alan Russell. You may know Alan and Ellen. but Alan's taking over, and we're going to have our grand reopening from 10 to 4 on Friday, and we would love for you to come out and take a look at the store. It looks great. Prices are really dirt cheap. I don't think anything is above $5, so you're welcome to come out and take a look. Other ministries we do, we have Foster and Hope, which works with parents that do foster care ministry. In fact, we do training here at Broward for foster care. We also do have one called Adoption Connection, where we work with families that have adopted children or are in the process of adopting children. What else? Yeah. Hang on, that may be about it. My office is down in the Altadena house, which I love because nobody can find me. And that's really good. I get a lot of studying done and stuff. But I want to take you through a passage today, a verse real quick. It's a verse that really touched me. I got it from, I left it over there, a book. By Puritan and George Swinock. He's an English Puritan. I love the Puritans. I read the Puritans all the time. Want to take you, before I start, well, let me start this way. I can remember my homiletics teacher in seminary, and the first thing he said was, you can tell a pastor did not prepare when he stands up in his introduction is, turn in your Bibles to so-and-so. That shows that that pastor did not prepare. So turn in your Bibles. Psalm 73, verse 26. Okay. Simple little passage. We're going to look at the verse. And then we're going to look at one little phrase. One little phrase that my biggest prayer for you is to catch a hold of what is being said. And that it penetrate your heart and draw you closer in your relationship with the Lord. Please hear my heart. This is a gift that we don't take advantage of. This, you may not understand, but it's the deepest cry of your soul. Our soul is empty. Our soul longs for things. In fact, when the psalmist says, as a deer pants for the water brook, so does my soul pants for thee. We long for him. Before you were a Christian, you felt that longing, and you would fill it with anything. You fill it with any idol that you can find. And we still do that. But listen to the verse. This is the cry of the psalmist's soul. My flesh and my heart may fail me, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And my portion forever. That's what we're looking at. But a lot of times, we don't feel the deepest longing with that portion. What we do is we turn to our idols. We're like the Israelites in the book of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 2:13, my people have forsaken the living water, and they have turned to the cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot be filled. Let's talk about that one for a second. The moment we turn away from the living water that God offers us to drink, that moment that we do that, we turn to cisterns. Now, what is a cistern? Well, I'm going to give you two pictures of a sister. The first one comes, if you've never gone with Harry to Israel, you need to go. It's phenomenal. When I teach something out of the gospel, I can say, I've been right there. I've been there. I've been there. When we saw a cistern then, it was a deep, deep well. A deep, deep well where you gained rainwater. And they would take the rainwater and they would purify it and they drink from it. Or a cistern was also a water pot. You take a water pot to your house and you put it at the corner of your house. When it rains, all the water goes down into the water pot. Can you imagine drinking that water? The picture here that Jeremiah gives is this. The moment we quit allowing our thirst, our spiritual thirst, to take us to Him, the moment we quit doing that, we go and we drink dirty, nasty water from the world. What's your portion? What's your portion? What do I take as my portion? Definition of a portion. But in the Hebrew, it's the word allotment or inheritance or partaking. What do you partake of daily? I came down about 5 weeks ago and I came down with COVID. I've been at home. Big mistake. I got hooked on Survivor. My son, and I will always hold this against him, got me hooked on Survivor. And I watched them try to boil water and they try to make it clean. And we try to make the dirty water of this world and we try to make it where we can drink of it. I do it all the time. I do it all the time. My little item comes sneaking in. But I want you to know when the Lord is your portion, things change. When the Lord becomes your portion, things change. You taste your inheritance. You taste and you partake in what Peter says is a divine nature. I'm currently teaching a series in our Sunday school class, and I taught it over here on regeneration. The thought of tasting and partaking in the divine nature that's been given to us through the grace of God, I want that, and I long for that, and I need that. And every believer with a new heart has the ability to live by passion and desire for God. In my counseling, one of the things that I do is I try to bring people to where they taste the goodness of God. I want to tell you, there are four things about this portion, and I will cover it pretty quick. First off, when God is your portion, He is very, very satisfied. It satisfies our soul. And the psalmist also says, be still and know that God is good. The goodness of God. But yet, we struggle with belief that He's that good. Is God really that good that He would come and love and die for me on the cross? And that He would pay for every bit of my sin. And that His blood is so pure and so good. And can wash the filth of all my sins away. the preacher in Ecclesiastes says it this way. We draw happiness out of creatures. Here's what he says. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Anything apart from God that we try to fill our soul with is really, really vanity. If it's not God, it could be any creature in the world and it will not fill us. It will not fill us. In fact, vanity is always abstract. It's like a shadow. My shadow going back here is not really me. It's just a picture of an image of me. That's scary though. But I want you to hear this. Every idol that we worship, every idol that we worship is nothing but an image. And it's full of vanity. It's universal. All is vanity. Everything is vanity. Everything that is not God is vanity. All of it. And this is a true statement. How do we know that this is a true statement? Ready? It's this. It's given to us by, quote, the preacher. The preacher that preaches truth. The preacher. But yet, in Psalm 16, verse 5 and 6, it says, the Lord is my chosen portion in my cup. You hold me a lot. You hold my lot. And lines are falling for me in the pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Here's a man that has tasted the goodness of God and sits and there and enjoys it. He's made the Lord his portion. The picture here is he drinks from the cup or eats from the bread. The heavenly bread of God is the picture of communion, where we come into the presence of God. Recently, we just went back to the old way of doing communion, which is the biggest blessing for me. Because one of the things that we've always done is as we leave the worship, the money that the deacons take up as you're leaving, called the alms offering. And all that goes to the mercy ministry and helps us pay the bills for other people that are in need. And I have a responsibility of being out in the narthex when that is happening. And up until this past time, it's been 2 years because of COVID that I have not been able to partake in the Lord's Supper. Even though I wasn't sitting in the pew, even though I was just standing up there, it tastes so good. As we look at this verse, Psalm 16, verse 5 and 6, we see the satisfaction that comes from that intimate knowledge of the Lord. But I know him and know him. I want to be like Paul. Your greatest desire in your soul is to say this just like Paul. Paul says this in Philippians 3:10. He says, that I may know him in the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Now think about that for a second. Yeah, I want to know the power of the resurrection. I want some of my sins obliterated. I want that power. But he's also crying for the fellowship of his suffering. That we know him in the middle of his suffering. To know him. Not only is it a satisfying portion, it is a sanctifying portion. I'm going to save a little time and give you an illustration that came out of my junior high years. Not my junior, but working with junior high. Okay? It's this. This is what sanctification looks like. I have this paper cup. It's plastic, and I've got CP, so it's heavy enough that I can hold it, not spill it, not shake. Okay? And when I get home, say from a workout or a busy day with people that want me to rescue them, want me to fix their problems, and want me to do something like that, and I'm exhausted and I'm thirsty, I'm thinking about that cup. Cup's got a little handle. It says Pepsi on one side and Birmingham Barons on another. Now, I don't go to Birmingham Barons, but it just happened to have Birmingham Barons on another. And when I go in and I want that cup, then I'm going to look all through the kitchen and find it. I'll look in the dishwasher. I'll look in the cabinet. I look everywhere, and when I look at it, and I find it, and I find it in the washer, I look inside, and it's not clean. So I take that cup, and I put dishwashing detergent in there, and I'll rinse it and wash it and scrub it with a brush, scrub it real quick, and then I'll clean it, rinse it out. And then I'll take it and I'll put ice in it. And then I'll put drink in it. And then I'll use it. And it'll taste so good. That's sanctification. God takes us and he finds us. And he draws us to himself. And he gives us a takes us, and if we're dirty and full of sin, which I'm always dirty and full of sin, and he'll scrub me and scrub me out, and he'll clean it out and clean on the outside. And then, how about this? This is where you really taste him as your portion. Ready? He takes you and fills you up, and then he enjoys you. One of the deepest longings in a woman is to be enjoyed. The picture of being enjoyed by your creator, your savior, and to be enjoyed at that point. Then, this portion, God, when God is that portion, he is universal. It says here, it gives you a picture in Revelation 22, verse 2. It talks about us going back into the garden. It talks about going to the tree of life. It's universal. It is universal in every way. It's universal because of this. The enjoyment of God is found in the covenant of grace. The covenant of grace to watch the uniqueness. When I went to seminary, the one class that really hit my heart talked about the covenant of grace and the security that comes from knowing a God that we are in the covenant with, and we're there because of his grace, and he paid every bit of our sin that we can enjoy intimacy with him, because we are designed for intimacy. We are created for intimacy. And it's a covenant of grace that brings that. So it's universal. Everything that we need has been purchased by our Savior. The fourth thing, God, when God is our portion, then we have an eternal portion. It lasts forever. It lasts forever. When I drink of the dirty cisterns of my life, they don't last long. They fade away real quick. Again, it's like my shadow. It doesn't last. And it's not the real person. But I want you to hear this. We have an inheritance that lasts forever. It's eternal. And when God says, I will be with you always, that's eternal. That is what we are enjoying. When he is a portion and we feed from him, we enjoy the fact that he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I am here. You may forsake me, but I'm still pursuing you, and I still want you, and I still desire you, despite all your sins. But we still turn to earthly portions, to the cisterns that are there, or the food that is left on the ground, and it spoils. And it spoils. That's the things of the world that we put into our life. Here's what I'm hoping. Here's my biggest cry. Is right now I'm praying that when you walk out of here, you want more of him than anything else. You want to take that word of God and you want to go, let it penetrate your heart. Let it transform you into the image of your Savior and to want more of him. The more I read this book, the more that I looked at this verse, the more I just want, Lord, I have not made you my portion. Would you make yourself my portion because you are truly God? And you know what you'll find out? If you look deep into your soul, what you'll find out is you really want it. You really want it. And you want him more than anything else. And you're not going to let go. God wants you. Let's pray. Father, may we rest in you. We see you, God, as our portion. And we ask that you would come and enable us by faith to stand with you always, to enjoy you, to taste you, to eat from your table, your banquet table. May we taste the goodness of the food. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, let me give you one more example. I love this one. I gotta say this. I want you to picture this. God has created for you a banquet table. It's better than Golden Corral. But in our struggles on this earth, there are times that we are allowed by God to taste a real morsel from a table that is waiting for us. In our deepest struggles, when we bring God into our struggles, he gives us the sweet taste of everything's on that table. Hear my heart. That's what I want for you.
Thank you.